Dear Hollywood, it's been a while since we've talked last, and I've noticed some changes in you recently that are pretty hard to ignore, so I'm writing you this letter to let you know, and also to ask you to please consider changing your ways. And I've got some help from some fellow learned nerds. Mickey Finn?
It's not you. I mean, it is you, but it's also not me, so it's definitely you.
Aaron DiOrive?
My doctor said I needed to be my own person and not an appendage.
Tex Thompson?
Baby, why you gotta make me hit you?
And I am your substitute emotional touchstone, Joseph Otino, and this is the Gentleman Nerds Podcast. And we are live at FinCon! I'm not really Joseph, I'm Mark. Joseph couldn't be here, but we have a guest nerd with us. Everybody, this is the first time we've had a guest nerd at the Portable Lobot Lounge here at FinCon. Please give a warm FinCon welcome to Tex Thompson. We just know she's going to do very well. Joseph, we miss you. We're sorry you're here, but we're going to have fun anyways. Aren't we, Aaron?
Yes, we are. In fact, we are so impressed with Tex's performance before it's even happened that we, from now on, when we do shows like this at conventions, even if all four gentlemen nerds are in attendance, we will always have a special guest who will join us on the Gentlemen Nerds panel to share their wonderful nerdy views.
And to tie it in, what was it, several years ago when Mark and Aaron really, really loved each other? They got together to have a podcast idea. It was nothing but a twinkle in their eye. They didn't actually go anywhere with it. And I showed up a year ago at FenCon. We were on a panel together, the very first panel of the con. And I said, guys, I kind of want to do a podcast. Do you feel like doing a podcast, kind of like a con in a box? And Aaron clapped me on the shoulder and said, let's talk later.
From that conversation was correct. Born, yes, the yep. Gentleman Nerds.
A year ago.
Gentleman Nerds was born at FenCon. This is very true.
Wow. But let's get to our topic at hand. We have a limited time here today, right. so what's on the boards for us?
Dear Hollywood, the way we want to do these is there always going to be audience participation. Last time we had secret shames. People shared some guilty pleasure they had, and we appropriately shamed them for liking this. This convention, we are doing Dear Hollywood, as Mark has pointed out. This is your chance to address the studios, the powers that be, the people who run the networks, and to make a request of them. It could be anything. It could be something you would like to see made. It could be something you want them desperately to stop doing. I'm sorry?
Are these people actually listening?
Well, let's say yes.
Yes. For the purposes of this show, yes. We have their ear. Yep. This is your one chance, your one
so
shot.
So we will share our Dear Hollywood requests first. Then we will open it up to the audience. We will call upon you. You will share your Dear Hollywood request. And we, as those executives and producers and powers that be, will discuss the merits of such requests and if it is indeed a good request.
My initial request is pretty selfish. So would someone else like to start?
Let's start with our guest. Tex?
All right. Dear Hollywood, I need you to stop cranking the hype machine a year before the movie comes out.
Yes.
Viagra was approved by the FDA in 1998. That means we have had 18 years in which to cement the idea that indefinite protracted arousal is neither desirable nor healthy. In fact, it is horrifically dangerous. I cannot be excited about Star Wars for an entire year. I can't do it. Similarly, I can't. You know, I know that when we have an all-female Ghostbusters reboot, I am going to have to spend at least the first 2 weeks after the movie's release fighting with people on the internet about Melissa McCarthy's vagenda of manicide. I cannot do that for 6 months before the movie comes out. I have things to do. Please stop inflaming the engorged butthole of fandom. please stop. We can't do this. It's not healthy for any of us.
Fellow nerds,
that is a worthy request.
Yes.
That is a worthy, worthy request.
Absolutely reasonable.
And the reason we like Tex is because she tells it like it is.
Yes, indeed. No, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. I couldn't agree more. I come from an era where trailers were much simpler. You know, the underwater footage of something swimming and the voice saying, you know, it exists only to eat. It is as if the devil took form and God gave it jaws. And that kind of, that's it. You never saw anything about the movie. You had no idea what the movie was about. Yes. It was just underwater footage. Or Close Encounters, which was that highway with a light at the end. And it's telling you what Close Encounters of one was. And what of the two kind was. And that's it. So I long for that simpler era where these things started to come out about, 4 months? 4 months or so? I mean, gosh, if it was 6 months, it was way ahead.
I think six is fair because the Christmas movies is when everybody gets set up for the summer months. And so I think that's reasonable.
And they used to know what teaser meant, which is what Aaron just described.
Yeah.
That's a teaser. Now teasers are either a teaser for a trailer that's about to come out the next day, or they're a minute and a half trailer instead of
the 2.5 minute trailer.
So the full trailer is the same thing with a couple extra scenes.
Two quick points. There was a period in time when Hollywood wouldn't even bother trying to show you what the movie was. They would just lie to you. It's colossal. It's stupendous. You'll explode on screen, you know, and then it'd be like, and then all they'd have is like people screaming in the aisles, and it'd be like the hideous sun demon, and you're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And then if you watch the hideous sun demon, you're like, it's not
well,
that. But at least we knew they were lying to us.
And on par with that, Orson Welles with Citizen Kane had a trailer that was this nice, charming, slightly comical thing.
Oh, right.
It was a completely wrong tone for the movie.
Well, I don't remember, I don't know if it started around this, but I remember the shift was when De Palma directed the first Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise. Now, first of all, I hate Brian De Palma with the fire of 1,000 suns. I think he's a terrible director. He got one thing right. And it's the one movie that nobody likes.
Phantom of the Paradise?
Yes. I really do. I can't stand him. But if you didn't see the movie, you remember that scene where a helicopter explodes and it throws him onto a train and it's in a tunnel.
Yeah.
And you remember that scene because they showed that in the trailer from the first second that they released footage. They would cut up and make different trailers, but it would always end with him getting blown onto the train. Now, here's the deal. We know now that that's Tom Cruise in a harness doing stuff because he's nuts. And I like it when he does those stunts. But that in the movie was like a big deal.
Yes, that was the climax.
That was like the penultimate climax to the film. By the time I got to it, I was like, "Yeah, seen this." I mean, it had lost. Yeah,
that would have been the equivalent. So, before you went to see Jaws, they showed you the shark blowing up with a tank in its mouth.
Spoilers!
Oh, and then you're like, "What? Why should I even go see this movie now?"
Right. Don't open with the money shot.
Yeah.
And
to that point, on the special features, they have all the trailers they ever released, including the TV spots. There is literally a 2 second spot of the blade of the helicopter coming up to his throat, and it says Mission Impossible. Yeah. It's the only thing in that 2 second spot. Yeah. I'm like, what the?
I know, agreed. But the first day grosses, first weekend grosses, have become so important to the success of a movie, to whether it will become a franchise, to whether they'll make another one, that they are doing everything they possibly can. They're throwing the kitchen sink at it. Anything they can to get people's butts into those seats in that first weekend.
Okay.
And it didn't used to be that way.
That was an excellent lead-up.
It was. I love that request.
Here's my proposition. If I go buy my movie ticket on Fandango right now, can I check a box that lets me opt out from all further hype?
That would be awesome.
Can I just say, mission accomplished. I'm going to be there. You have nothing else to show me.
You know
I will
what?
Be there. Stop.
I'm on the phone with a yes man. I'm going to make that happen.
Thanks,
man. My wife is specifically avoiding anything on Rogue One.
Well,
she sold already. She doesn't want to know anything about it.
That's the irony of this is if they all they have to do if they want to advertise the movie is have one of those white, you know, sets, those clean white sets, and a guy comes out holding a card that says coming soon. Star Wars, Rogue One, Christmas, be there. Drops the rest of the cards and walks off. And that's all we would need.
Yeah.
You'd be like, all right, thanks. Cool, I'm in.
No, that's
hey, they didn't show us. No, wait a minute. That could be a good thing. I'm in.
You know, see, here's my worry now, gentlemen nerds, is that how are we going to top that request? That's a fantastic request. But I'm going to try.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to try.
Give it a shot.
All right. Dear Hollywood, for the love of all that is holy, there are other actors that can play a villain besides Benedict Cumberbatch.
We love you, Benedict.
There are so many talented actors.
Like Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, Christ.
Who could play a villain other than... But no, sincerely, there are three actors and three actresses, it seems, that are always, always placed into the roles of either the hero or the villain. And Hollywood's a big place, and it has a lot of actors that are eager to work. My request to them would be, please try to cast slightly different people in your big blockbusters coming up. Thank you.
I'm in. Yeah. A little diversity is a good thing.
Yes.
I love Tom Hiddleston. I love Benedict Cumberbatch. I love Agent Smith. I love all of those people. I don't need to see them in every movie.
Yes.
I don't need to see them all of the time.
No. I think it's possible to have a retinal burn on those guys. And in fact, I think I got it already.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in. That's an excellent. We'll add that to the list.
All right.
Do you have something for us?
Dear Hollywood, Britain figured this out a long time ago. It is not a stigma to be on television and films. Use your freaking TV actors. Use your stage actors. Stick them on film as well.
Okay.
And while we're crossing from television actor to film actor.
Yes. Okay. And while we're at it, if a part calls for a certain type of person, cast somebody with the experience as that type of person. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're looking at you, Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes.
Okay. I'm all right with that,
I like
too.
That one. Why recast The Flash for the Justice League movie when there's a perfectly excellent actor that plays The Flash on television every week
love him? We do know the answer to that one is the fact that Warner Brothers Television and Warner Brothers Film hate each other with the passion of a thousand suns.
Yes, they do.
I'm going to get on the phone and talk to the...
It's like... Two people that are divorced, and the audience is the poor kid.
Well, they need to get they need to get their shit together.
Right.
Make it work for the kids.
They need to get their shit together. Do it for the kids.
That's right.
All right, good one. It's a good one.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to add Joseph's in right now, just while we're here.
Okay.
Please, dear Hollywood, please bring back Red Skull. Now this is I know it's easy, right?
Yeah.
This is mine, dear Hollywood. Since you have yet to produce an actual Robert E. Howard movie that resembles the source material, I would like you to please use me as a creative consultant on the next round of Robert E. Howard movies, not up to and including Conan, King Kull, El Barak, and the HBO made-for-television series, The Adventures of Sailor Steve Costigan, written by Mark Finn. Thank you very much.
I love that was such an unselfish request.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for those, I did
warn you.
for those who have not been following us for all 25 episodes, up to 26 now, Aaron's catchphrase is, nice. And Mark's catchphrase is, once again, they did not consult me.
Yes.
So break his catchphrase.
Yes.
And Joseph's was Red Skull Lives.
Force me to get a new catchphrase and let me actually help you make a Conan movie where we don't give him parents only to have them killed, which pushes him into a quest to find the guy that killed his parents. Because that's not only not Conan, but that's a stupid premise for any movie in 2016.
Well, I want to say, Mark, that I I think that is a worthy request, and I would say yes, I will champion it, unless, of course, they come to me first to consult on those movies, in which case, then, you're SOL.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Well,
fair enough.
No,
can
then
we do
you
then
hire
some
him.
Kind of Pon Farr fight to the death over who gets to do it?
It's simple, Aaron.
You would just circle like
consultant to your consultant.
We would just circle like Kirk and Spock and pretend to fight so that they would be amused.
There
and
we go.
While we're pretending to fight, I'll take my shirt off and blind the Hollywood goons with my milky white underskin.
No, it worked for Chris Farley. Give it a shot.
Those shining thews.
Shining. Yeah, I'm like a hairy glass of milk. It's not good. Not a good look.
Well, but I think you touched on something important, which is this idea of help me help you. Mm-hmm. Whatever the thing is, like if you want to write this kind of character, we got lots of those who exist in the real world. Let's get some of them in the room and help you get them those characters right. If you want to adapt this property, we have a lot of experts in the world. Let's get some of them in the room and help you get it right.
Which is why Deadpool worked.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a weird thing because the two guys that wrote the Conan script from 2008, the one that had Jason Momoa in it.
Who, by the way, I think was a fantastic Conan.
Yes, he was a great Conan. But they literally, their exposure to the Conan property was the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and then the other Arnold Schwarzenegger movies from the 80s, and then some of the comics.
They didn't pull anything from The Rock?
Well, The Rock didn't have anything. I mean, he never did a Howard property. And
Scorpion King's not a Howard property?
Well, no. No.
Mark thinks I'm serious.
Okay, look, I'm going to come across the table. Yeah. All right? Okay, so that's not a bad one. Did anybody have any other ones that they wanted to toss in there?
I want to hear their Dear Hollywood request.
Okay. All right.
The first hand I saw up, so absolutely. Right here.
Oh, okay, yes.
Dear Hollywood, in an extension of Aaron's excellent suggestion, may I kindly request that you cast superheroes that are not played by actors named Chris.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Preferably the same guy named Chris.
Yes. Yes. Two different superheroes by the same guy named Chris. Very good.
Technically
Chris
three
Evans,
comic
Chris Hemsworth.
Three comic book properties.
That is a worthy request to Hollywood. It will take your request under consideration.
Absolutely.
Because Chris Pine, not Chris Hemsworth, but Chris
the other.
Chris Pratt, Chris Evans.
Yes.
Chris.
Oh my God, you're right.
Chris
Evans was also in the movie The Losers, which is another comic book property.
You know, by the way, if we go far enough back, Chris Reeve.
Yes.
Whoa, bazinga.
It's a Chris-spiracy.
Chris-spiracy!
That's what it is.
It is a Chris-spiracy.
Okay.
That's
How
been
about,
coined here. You've heard
in
it
the
first.
Interest of Chris-versity, we do this like we did in high school band. We will have tryouts. We will have first chair Chris, second chair Chris. We will let them compete to see who will be Chris Prime.
Oh, that's Chris Prime.
And those parents around the world who want their kid to grow up to be an actor, name him Chris.
Yeah.
Or her Chris.
Apparently the fix is in. Yeah.
Nice.
That's a fantastic one.
Well played.
And I think you may have found some conspiracy that I'm sure will be talked about on the internet tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Yes.
In the back, sir.
Here in Hollywood, there are a lot of positions and people on set doing lots of different jobs. Please create a position called the sense person. This person looks at a situation or a plot development or a series of events and says, does this make sense? Does it follow what happened before? Does it make even an ounce of sense? And also, does it meet the laws of physics? I understand that there is some creative discretion to be used and that sometimes you tweak the laws of physics or something about computers to make the plot work and for people to understand it. But having a bus jump a gap is not right. Not even a little bit.
There's a threshold to the believability dispensation.
There is a threshold. There is tweaking physics to make a story work, and then there is just playing a turd on.
There's the fact that Star Wars is science fantasy, and then there's being able to see in real time a beam from one solar system hit another solar system from your planet in another solar system.
This is going to be a tough call, and I'll tell you why. Your threshold of believability is my freaking awesome moment in a movie that's otherwise kind of mediocre.
Although, but I think everybody hits that point. And I agree with you. I actually think that's a great request. Because in an effort to give you bigger and better spectacle, I think they have decided that they can do away with the laws of physics and anything else that even is remotely realistic and just look at it. Wow, look at that. And at some point, like you, I'm like, really? Come on. Really? The King Kong, the new King Kong, which I thought was very good. I very much enjoyed it.
You're on sacred ground here.
I know. But here's my... I'm talking about the remake now.
I know.
My problem is when it hit those video game physics-defying moments with the dinosaurs, where it was a cartoon. It ceased to be great fun and, oh, they're in peril, and now they're in this stampede of dinosaurs that look like they have no weight. They actually don't look like they're occupying the space that they're occupying, and the guys are running between their legs, and you can tell because they're even shaded differently than the dinosaurs. None of it looked real. Fight with Kong versus T-Rexes, fantastic.
Okay. All right,
but the moment they put the humans in there, and they're doing this it's a Daffy Duck moment.
Yeah,
and along the same lines.
You're right.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Side. Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one balanced all that beautifully.
Yep.
The second one went way off into Warner Brothers cartoon land.
Yep.
You're deer in my headlights, Mickey. Watch yourself.
Yeah. No. I love the movie, but there are certain things that are definitely Warner Brothers cartoon moments.
It is true. And the biggest, one of the biggest criticisms of the Avengers movies is that they have gotten into this territory of cartoony. It's, you know, you can tell they're CGI characters. Nobody believes the Ultron robots are really there. And by contrast, you look at something like Winter Soldier, and it's fantastic. They did as much practical effects as they could. There were cars that were actually crashing and explosions that were actually happening. And action that was grounded in that world. Captain America was still doing Captain America cool shit.
Okay.
But it was grounded in the world. So keep it within the world you've created. There is a way to jump the shark, even if you're in a fantasy world.
I remain unconvinced. I want to hear from Tex.
Well, I think that when you go to a movie, you sign up for a given level of stupid. Like, you know, like, or should know, that Ninja Turtles are not currently possible given science as we understand it.
Bite your tongue.
But you sign up for that because you're like, okay, that's the let's say. You know, like you sign up for that level of let's just say that this can happen when you walk into the theater. And as long as we stay at or below that level of let's say, we're good. But I don't know if you know this. Baxter Stockman definitely doesn't know this. People do not contain rhinoceros DNA. It's the damnedest thing. And when you suddenly exceed the level of agreed upon, let's say, that's when our suspension of disbelief falls through.
I agree. Yeah.
All right, so we're 3-1. We're going to put it in.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It's a good request.
There you go.
Yes, Patrice.
Dear Hollywood, no one really likes a dour superhero.
Okay. All right. That's
period? Is that period?
Yeah, no, that's a bold choice. Yeah. No one really likes a dour superhero.
This will be a little controversial. This will be controversial. Because I think some superheroes can be dark and dour and brooding.
Rorschach.
Yeah.
Right, they're designed to be that way. But I would agree that Superman should not be dark and grim and brooding.
I'm okay with Batman being Batman.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with Superman being Batman.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. The problem is they're trying to paint all superheroes with the same brush. Yeah. They said if people loved a dark superhero in the Dark Knight trilogy, then let's give them dark superheroes in the Superman and Justice League movies. And it's like, no, completely different heroes that feel completely different.
Well, it's just like this is the problem of confusing the packaging for the substance, right? Like when The Matrix came out, Hollywood did not look at that and say, wow, we should totally do more high concept science fiction with some Eastern mythology elements, you know, some kind of mind bending future sci-fi stuff. No, what we need, here's what they want. They want Hugo Weaving, bullet time, and pleather. Yeah. That's what we need.
And everything with a blue tint. Everything with a blue tint.
Yes.
Yeah. Or a green tint, depending on what realm you're in.
Yeah.
Well, it is true that Hollywood tends to only grab the surface, and they always miss the substance.
Yeah. They're gropers.
All right, Patrice, it's in.
Yeah, yes. But I would say in general, you are absolutely correct. Right. They are trying to make all superheroes dark and brooding.
But there is a place.
And that's what made Batman special among superheroes. So,
Sean,
good one.
What do you got for us?
All right. Dear Hollywood, not every single human being that I see on the screen for both film and television needs to be a fashion model. Normal people would be nice to see on the screen.
Here, here. Yes. I am so tired of watching movies where Janine Garofalo is the ugly one.
Yes.
That just makes me nuts. Yeah. I would let Janine Garofalo burn me with cigarettes. and I'm supposed to believe just because she's standing next to Uma Thurman that she's somehow like not on my to-do list? Are you nuts?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And I adore Uma Thurman, but she's actually better looking than Uma Thurman, in my opinion.
Well,
the caveat to that is when they are playing a certain kind of character like a superhero, who does have that sort of more glamorous, they're in perfect shape, they're handsome, they're admired, I don't mind so much, you know. And I never thought these words would ever come out of my mouth, but I don't need to see Scarlett Johansson in skimpy clothing in every movie. Did I just say that?
Yes.
Yes, you did. Because
no, but yes, exactly. Exactly. Call me out, bald people. No, but I agree. For a normal, for a drama, for just an ordinary film about ordinary people, you're right. We don't have to.
I even mean like secondary. Like you'll just go
people in the background,
and they're in a restaurant, and every single person in the restaurant is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, but that's not.
But you have to employ the unemployed in Hollywood. They're waiting. For
can I attach a writer to that? See also the overused trope of the, and it's mostly on television, of the hot wife and the fat goofy guy.
Yes.
Begging the question, how did that ever happen? Even though I am actually currently the fat goofy guy next to a hot wife, I submit to you I am the exception rather than the rule.
Well, we know how that happened.
Consulting.
A charisma of 20.
There you go. Or bank account of 20 million.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think I would love to see people that look like all of us in a movie. That certainly would go much farther to making me believe this world and invest in this world than if every single person. In fact, there's comedy sketches about the guy that's walking around LA and he walks into the video store and the models are walking up and they're like, they're normally like, "Are you? Can I help you find a movie?" And it's like, it's this beautiful model and he's looking around like, what?
EMT out there is cut from this gorgeous statue cloth. You know?
That said, I lived in Norway for several years. I worked in Oslo. And you can see centuries of selective breeding of Vikings going out and finding the most beautiful women they could find and bringing them back to Norway. There are some beautiful people out there. There are some really, really beautiful people out there. But the problem is
Hollywood is in Hollywood.
That's true. Yeah. I guess if they were all in Oslo, then I'd understand.
If they were Norwegian, I might have an issue.
Well, and to your point about superheroes, right? They are the pinnacle of human bodily perfection. But if you actually look at the Olympic gold medal winners in every sport and every category, they come in a lot of shapes and sizes.
They do. Yeah.
The lady who won the deadlift does not look like Power Girl, you know?
No, she's amazing.
And I think it would be so cool to see more superheroes that actually have Olympian shapes that come in all those different types of bodies.
Actually, speaking of which, what was Deadpool? Who was the strong, the Latina woman of Deadpool, that she fights Colossus? She was pretty cool. She was this big, brawny, woman.
Not to mention the teenage nuclear warhead, whatever.
Right.
Negasonic teenage warhead. Yes.
What? That's the coolest name ever.
But she was not a supermodel, and if I remember correctly, she's also representing the LGBTQA+.
We can also cast Michael Phelps as a deep one because of his peculiar head shape. I'm all about
well,
that.
Also, doesn't he have that like concave? Yeah, he's got like a concave chest and this really wide.
We can cast him as Abe Sapien.
He's built like Abe Sapien. That's exactly what he's built like. But I agree. The first time I saw the woman that won the deadlift, I called my wife over and I said, "Look at this video, because this woman didn't look. Look at her. she looked amazing."
And tied into that is Dear Hollywood. Del Toro is not the only one that has to hire the guy who played Abe Sapien.
Oh, right.
Doug Jones, I love him.
Doug Jones needs to be more stuff.
By the way, that was a good one.
Yes.
Dear Hollywood, remakes, really?
Yeah.
I was so waiting for this one. There are so many books out there that have amazing stories. Please follow the book.
And the fun thing is that they screwed things up so many times with trying to adapt a story that several authors that would make, you know, the Vore series would be an excellent HBO series. And she's like, no, every time somebody comes to me, they completely don't get the books.
You got to be careful what you ask for. I understand. I've not read the Mrs. Peregrine's books, but I understand that there's a kerfuffle going on right now because, once again, Tim Burton has taken what he wants and rearranged the rest. Because if Tim Burton's known for anything, it's getting it right.
Ouch. What when he does, nobody sees the movie.
Well, all right. You know what? We're going to agree to disagree on that because he will never live down Planet of the Apes.
Oh no, I wasn't referring to Planet of the Apes.
I was referring to Planet of the Apes. But your point about
amazing short story.
Right. Yes.
Terrible movie.
Right.
It's missing its iconic character.
Now, let me jump in on the side. I'm going to be devil's advocate on this one. Simply because I appreciate that there are two different mediums. I appreciate that the novel will always be there, and you can always read it and love it for what it is, and that there are such different requirements for a movie, and there are such different constraints around a movie, that sometimes it would be impossible to adapt it absolutely faithfully. You know, there's people that love the Lord of the Rings movies. I'm one of them. There's people that hate the Lord of the Rings movies because they're not like the books. But I've read the books, and if you film the books as Tolkien wrote them, it would be the most boring shit ever. No one would watch it except those hardcore fans. The movie would suck.
And it can go...
And there's no argument about that. The movie would suck.
Yeah.
There's that scene. I'm not done. Okay. There's that scene. No, believe me, I am not. There's that scene in the movie where at the Mines of Moria and the whole thing where the creature's in the water and, you know, don't throw the stones in the water, and the creature comes out and attacks them, and there's this great fight and they barely manage to get away, and the creature pulls a thing and all the Mines of Moria collapse. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And everyone's like, that's so cool. And yeah, I remember that scene in the book. I'm like, no, you don't. You're a liar. Let me read to you what happens in the book. In the book, they're at the Mines of Moria. They're trying to figure out how to get in. Frodo's looking out over the surface of the water. It starts to stir. Those tentacles come out and grab Frodo. Everyone shrieks like women and runs into the mines. Everyone. Boromir, Aragorn. They run into the mines. Sam draws his sword and runs out there, "It's a Frodo!" and starts attacking the tentacles until it drops him. Then he grabs Frodo and they join everybody else in the mines. Can you imagine if they had filmed that? Viggo Mortensen grabs Sean Bean, "Let's get out of here, fellas!" And they all run into the mines with Gandalf picking up his dress like a skirt. It would have been the most... People would have laughed, mocked, gotten up, and walked out right there. Except for the Tolkien fans would have gone, "It was just like in the books."
It would have failed. I wonder if they're going to tell us what they had to eat next.
It would have failed. It would have failed. So I appreciate, for the most part, I think you're right. Let's stick to the essence of the book. Let's stick to the touchstones of the book that make it important and that people love.
But you can
adapt it slavishly. You cannot.
Totally. Your point is totally given because there are so many instances lately, and by lately I'm going to go ahead and say the last 15 years, where they have gotten it right enough that you go, okay, so someone is paying attention. You know, we can look at most of the Harry Potter movies as really good examples of when they get it right. Certainly some of the Marvel movies where they're able to translate the character accurately. And so it is very frustrating when a noted director and an A-list actor make a shot for shot remake of Psycho. Talk about one of the most, there's not a useful instance where that's necessary.
Sorry. Well, and my I think we're talking about two different things. We're talking about adaptations, right, which is where you take a book or a comic, uh-huh, or whatever, and you make a movie out of it. Right. And then there's the remake, where we take a movie and we make another movie. A remake is essentially, for most times, it's a redo. And the reason you have a redo, if you remember your 10th grade English essays, the reason you would do it over is because you didn't get it right the first time. Right. So let's not remake, Total Recall. Right. Let's remake Avatar The Last Airbender. Let's go ahead and get that one in the funnel right now. Right. No need to wait 20 years
remake
on that.
Bad ones, don't
actually,
remake,
no, just skip straight to Korra.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm just saying.
I agree. But remakes, too much. There's too many of them. Absolutely.
Stop remaking the stuff that was already good.
On the
remake
adaptation,
the stuff that could have been good.
Right. What's amazing on adaptation is the rare instances where they completely change everything and improve on it. Mm-hmm. And to that, I hold up Preacher.
Those are unicorns and should be celebrated as such.
Yes. but they happen. They happen.
Kubrick's Shining is a really good example of a movie and a book that could not be more different. And then, but
Kubrick's 2001.
2001, another example, yeah.
Well, they wrote the book for the movie, didn't they?
Oh, did
no.
They?
No.
Yeah, they collaborated.
They collaborated.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. The book came out first before the movie.
I just remember reading the book and thinking, this is a lot more slow and boring than imagine someone saying that about 2001.
2010 also has problems.
Yes, yeah.
When you watch the redo of The Shining, where they went to the book, and they used Stephen Weber and all that, right, exactly. It's not scary. It's not. No. It doesn't feel like a Stephen King movie. It just lays there. Yeah.
Dune, movie, is an experience whether you like it or not. Whereas the adaptation miniseries is really, really freaking close, but also you don't care about any of the characters because it's just scene.
Yeah.
There's no oomph to the characters.
It took a while. There's alchemy to it, but
I would like to see a remake of Dune. I think Dune is one of those where haven't gotten it right yet.
Yeah.
So let's
and a remake of Howard the Duck.
You know what?
For those of you at home, the audience, lots of people just went, oh, and raised a finger.
In addendum to that, I read an article that said that in the past year, so beginning 2016, we're not going to count Star Wars in this.
Right.
The top 10 grossing movies of this year have all been either comic book adaptations or talking animal movies. Yes. Therefore, Howard the Duck is clearly.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Oh, yes.
My tumors. That, your original point, we're including it. Yes. I'm gonna try to get them to take out Howard the Duck.
Yeah, it's a good one though. That's a very good point, both on remakes and on adaptations.
Yes.
Dear Hollywood, can you add more racial diversity other than Asians and Caucasians?
Sure. Yay. Why not? Absolutely.
Bravo, bravis.
I was talking to you about Shaft on Friday.
I don't think so.
I grew up in the 70s, and there was only television, and there wasn't other things. I also grew up as a latchkey kid, relatively unsupervised. TV was kind of my babysitter. And I was very fortunate to have twice the number of normal channels because we got stuff in my local market, and for some reason, we also got stuff in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, and the Dallas-Fort Worth market still had independent stations. And this independent station, KTVT, had a ton of programming. They had hours to fill. And so it was all syndicated stuff. But they would do things in the evening where they would have they would do Blaxploitation Month, you know. And so one of my early heroes was Jim Kelly, Black Belt Jones. And no one told me that these were not... No one told me that these were blaxploitation movies. To me, they were just movies where he was the good guy. And so early on, there was this interesting spread of these different kinds of movies. I've always found that, especially when you're dealing with like action adventure stuff, I always empathize with whoever the hero is. When I started watching Asian cinema, I wanted to be Chow Yun-fat because... Who wouldn't want to be Chow Yun-fat, right?
I still want to be Chow Yun-fat.
I still kind of want to be Chow Yun-fat. Whenever whenever Rodriguez came out with Desperado, I've never in my life wanted to be a mariachi more
than when Antonio Banderas was sliding across the floor and shooting from all these weird angles. To me, that's not... No. They're just the good guys. They're the heroes. They're the ones you're rooting for. And I don't know how we got off that train, but I think we need to get back on it.
Right. Well, I mean, with the whole diversity thing. I mean, this is why I think there is still, although the Marvel fanboys have tried to explain it away, but there's still a little bit of an uproar about the casting of Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. Yes, I applaud that they cast a woman in the role that was traditionally that of a man, a mentor figure. That's great. But as with Benedict Cumberbatch, there are other actors besides Tilda Swinton that can play sort of weird, mysterious, you know. And the complaint I hear online from the Marvel fans is that, well, you know, the Ancient One was this horrible racist stereotype. He was like the Yellow Menace. He was this Fu Manchu character. I'm like, then don't write him that way. Create something new. I can bet you that when I watch the Luke Cage TV show, he's not going to sound like he sounded in the comics in the 70s. I promise you he's not going to sound like that character in the 70s. So that's my objection, is one of the few Asian characters, I'm not even talking actors, one of the few Asian characters in the Marvel Universe has now been replaced with a white Caucasian character. And I think that's unfortunate, because we shouldn't be doing that. That's not something we should be doing. And to be fair, that's the movie universe. Marvel Universe, gosh, the new Iron Woman is a young black girl. Thor is a woman. It's a Jane now. Thor. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going completely, you know, Spider-Man is Morales, you know, is a young Latino mix. So, I mean, that's
Miss Marvel is a Muslim girl.
That's right. Yes. Miss Marvel is a Muslim. So, bravo to Marvel Comics. They're getting it right. They understand that their readership is growing, is much more diverse. I just wish that Marvel Comics, the Marvel movie universe, would catch up. And there's all kinds of reasons that they claim, because of, oh, they can't cast an Asian character or a Tibetan character because the Chinese wouldn't show the movie in their market, or whatever the excuses are. But again, then just don't make him Tibetan.
Yes,
come up with some mythological
place. It's a shame there are no other kinds of Asian besides Chinese.
Exactly. Make him anybody you want. Invent your own country if you want. But
it's not Ben Kingsley.
Yes. Absolutely agree on, we need more diversity in films, and that is something that every screenwriter, every producer, every director should be focusing on trying to do.
I will tell you that I think it's actually starting to change. The problem with these big systems is that they take an awfully long time to course correct. And I think personally that one of the reasons why we have a woman in the Asian One role is because when they started the process 2 years ago, there was a hue and cry about not being enough parts for women. And I think that was inserted to try and diversify the sausage factory that is the Doctor Strange cast of characters. Right. So I'm not sure if it's fair to throw them under the bus for making one course correction. I think they should at least get credit for doing the one thing that they did before you go, and now, if you could just fix
now
this
now that
other
we
thing.
Know that you know how to change,
right.
We are going to expect this much
but,
more.
But the internet doesn't do that.
Yeah, because sadly, why not Michelle Yeoh? Because she's both a woman and an Asian.
Certainly.
What?
Ridiculous.
What sorcery is
That's
this?
Too much diversity.
That's divergent right there.
Well, I do think that I think we're going to see that start to happen. One of the movies that got added to the Phase 3 lineup is Ant-Man and the Wasp. So we're going to see Evangeline Lilly become a superhero.
And we have a Captain Marvel.
And Brie Larson is Captain Marvel, and I guess everybody's happy about that. But I think most of us would have rather been Katie Sackhoff. I don't know. I don't really care. I mean, just as long as they're doing the movie and it's good. I mean, really, there's. I think casting is largely a. Everybody's so good, and the Marvel has now my complete and total trust until they mess it up. But so far, I think we need to give them the benefit of the doubt. Could they be going a little bit faster? Yeah, they could, but these things take time. So I think we're going to see that from the Marvel end. And next year, before we ever get to Captain Marvel, we're going to see this Wonder Woman movie from DC,
yes,
which looks absolutely fantastic. I speak for all
and
of
she's
us.
What, she's at Israeli? Nerd Central. She's Greek? Is she Israeli? Greek? What
she's
is it?
She's the actress is half Israeli and half something else.
Okay.
But of course she's playing mythological Amazons.
So right.
So
she but Jason Momoa. Samoan.
I know, right.
On.
So this is going to be a good thing. Yeah. All of us nerds are all for Wonder Woman. We can't wait for it. I think it's going to be awesome.
Now, I do have this sudden vision of in Doctor Strange. Remember the whole Ra's al Ghul, we're going to use a fake person to play Ra's al Ghul before we actually reveal who it is?
Right. Yeah.
I'm picturing they walk in and it's this vaguely Asian looking dude, and it's Trevor from Iron Man 3, has been hired to do another role to pose for.
As long as it's not Liam Neeson again.
Yes.
Liam Neeson is Ra's al Ghul. Who are you trying
yeah,
to
Yeah, I know. I was like, what?
Come on. Come on. Are we stupid? All right. Do we have any more from
do we
the
have
audience?
Another, over here.
This
Hold
is
on.
Your chance to unburden.
Where?
If you've got Where? An issue, let's hear it.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Dear Hollywood, I know everybody likes to see their name on the big screen, but the list of credits has gotten so insane. I do not need to know who was the valet, who was the assistant paymaster. This has only really started recently.
Well, right.
Cut it back.
It needs to be long enough for the audience to leave, to go to the bathroom, come back, and catch the coda at the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to respectfully suggest that there are a lot of people who work on the movie that do the shit jobs.
Yeah.
And for a lot of those people, aside from getting paid scale or whatever, their way of basically being able to sleep at night working for tyrannical people who live in bubbles and are absolutely passive-aggressively horrible, is that they get to point up to the screen to their mother at Christmas and go, look, that's my name! And she gets to go, that's my baby! And then that's it.
Yeah.
So,
I would agree. I mean, I am one of those people because I'm a screenwriter and I've done films before and I know how much work is involved. I force my family, my daughter hates me for it, but I force my family to sit through the entire credit sequence. Whether there's a teaser or not, I'm like, you watch who the best boy was.
I would appreciate it.
You know,
take in that craft services name. You read it. Read it all.
You think it's easy being an assistant to Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I would agree that if you're not interested, you do have the option to get up and leave the theater. I stay and I watch. I watch every last name because they worked very, very hard, and I think they deserve that recognition.
Well, that was my thing. I said I now need to see to the end of the credits, and by the time I'm getting assistant to the assistant.
Right.
I think Mickey's suggestion of make that your bathroom break is yes. probably a good
idea. Well, it's
idea.
Funny. I love in Pixar movies, if you notice, now they announce babies. Like they'll,
yes.
They'll say, here are the babies that were born during the production.
Yes.
Here are the pets that died during yes. the production. And it's very sad.
Well, and I wonder if if it seems like there are more names on the credits, if that's not, it's not just that we're crediting more people, it's that more people are being involved in these
yes.
movies.
Right.
They're getting bigger. They're getting more expensive, and we've seen some like the AAA games, you know, in the games industry, where it's there. It almost seems like these blockbuster movies are getting superheated, so mm-hmm. that if they have a meltdown, a la The Lone Ranger, the studio's out billions and billions of dollars.
Right.
And
then
I wonder
they
if that's not
the,
a symbol
and then they
of
can point to the credits and go, it was their fault.
Well,
all these people, it was their fault.
For a lot of it's for those effects heavy movies.
Yeah.
You have one digital production company in charge of one sequence of films.
And they put all the artists that worked on, because it takes a lot of time.
Unless you're Sausage Party, in which case that's a whole other subject.
I think there's some kind of threshold that you have to work so many hours towards the movie before your name goes up there.
Well, sure, absolutely.
Yeah, there are rules for everything. I'm sure all the guilds in Hollywood have figured out you know, the Teamsters know how to credit their guys, and these people know how to credit, you know, the best, the Dolly Grips know how to credit their guys.
But I will tell you that even if you're in found footage, even if it's just for, say, 8 seconds, where you're counting backwards from 10, say in the movie Boyhood, say, where they filmed at your bookstore when you were the manager there a while back, say, you end up in the credits, and they send you checks for that. So it's not all bad. I mentioned this only in passing.
See the movie Boyhood, starring Mark Finn.
Yeah. I'm so glad you don't make these things about you, Mark, because that's... Yes?
There's a Facebook.
Oh, okay. Oh, we have a Facebook. Go ahead.
It's from Joseph.
Okay, let's hear it.
He says, stop retelling superhero origin stories that we all know. I know about the Wayne family murder and the destruction of Krypton. No more rehash.
Yeah. Outstanding.
That's a good one from our missing gentleman nerd. Absolutely. Do we have to see yet another superhero origin story?
The one exception to that was Batman versus Superman was actually beautifully done, because I was dreading that. I knew it was coming. And at the end I went, holy crap, that was well done.
Well, if they're going to give us...
And it was quick.
If they're going to give us highlights, I think it works really well.
Right,
nobody liked the Hulk movie starring Ed Norton. I did, because I like Hulk. But they did a brilliant... They recapped the movie in the opening credits. Or they recapped his origin in the opening credits and shifted it over to kind of a mix between movie Hulk and TV Hulk.
Hulk, yeah.
And it was beautiful because...
Yeah.
You know... Very few people sat down in the movie and said, I wonder what this is about. I think most people sat down and went, all right, give me a Hulk story.
Yeah. Origin story, we don't.
And then for those of you that you know, haven't been absorbing these movies by osmosis, here's 30 seconds of everything you need to know about what makes the Hulk.
By the way, you know who also did that really well? The new Tarzan movie. Yeah.
The new Tarzan movie did it really well.
Yeah. We did not get to start with, we don't have to start with him in the jungle being raised by apes. So.
That's perfect.
Yes, right here.
And this is going to be our last one.
Okay, you get the last Dear Hollywood.
Make it good.
Okay, Dear Lords of Entertainment, we acknowledge your superiority in all things entertainment and money-making related. We ask only that you make more movies with rad bus jumps filled with prominent parents from society who may then potentially die and spawn many origin stories of orphan superheroes. Thank you. We love you. Please, Tara, please. Amen.
Very good. Yeah.
I think the high priest has just created a cult.
I know. I will. I will send you the dimensions for my Buddha statue after the show.
Now, by the time that gets translated to the Hollywood machine, it's going to be a bunch of parrots on a bus, and the bus goes over a cliff.
Acceptable.
I love the tone. Acceptable. It's like,
he's got a
the
point.
Clone, the cone heads.
I would pay
from Remy Lack.
If that were Speed 4, I'd be all over it. Absolutely. Yeah.
There was a Speed 3.
Speed 4, Parrot Trap.
Yes. Speed 4, Origin.
Oh my God!
What's the bus's origin story?
I'm sure it has one, but it would have to be Pixar because it'd have to talk.
Or Miyazaki.
Miyazaki.
Or Stephen King.
Yeah, I love it. I'll
take
the glitch.
Anime references make my teeth itch. All right.
Anyway, awesome. Well,
folks,
thank you all.
You have far surpassed our grandest expectations. For those of you who, if this is your first nerd experience, you can find us at thegentlemannerds.com. All of the podcasts are currently up. We just celebrated our silver anniversary, our 25th episode is online. The podcast is free to listen to. If you like what you hear and want to play with us, you can head over to Facebook and join up and get news from the Gentleman Nerds Facebook page, or if you just want to talk about what's going on, you can go over to the Lobot Lounge, where we mostly just post goofy stuff.
And you don't have to listen to the podcast to be in the Lobot Lounge.
Join the Lobot Lounge.
In conclusion...
But on the Lobot Lounge, we will be having a competition for Name the Gentleman Nerds Robot a Mascot. So get on there, give us your name suggestions. I'm telling you right now, that Roboty McRobot face is going to be a non-starter. So no robotic but robot face.
Yeah.
But name the mascot. You will be sent a box of mystery goodies. They're going to be fantastic. It'll be thrilling. You'll tell your friends about it. You'll bequeath that box to your children. That's how awesome it is.
Not anything that's in the box, just the box.
Just the box.
So Hollywood, I hope you take this letter in the spirit in which we have intended it. And don't take it personally. Instead, try to find some useful, constructive criticism from it. Because we're only telling you this because we love you. And we want you to be better. We think you can be better, and we think it's not hard to implement a lot of these things and make the experience better for all of us. We're not dumb, and we don't like being treated like we're dumb. So how about giving us a break and helping us out with some of these suggestions? In closing, and with warm and gracious consideration, I remain faithfully Mark Finn,
Aaron Deodiva,
Mickey Finn,
and Tex Thompson.
We are the Gentlemen Nerds. Thank you very much. And remember, Red Skull lives.
Now, does anyone have the key to the restraints for the Hollywood folks so we can let them out?
Gentlemen Nerds is a production of Cloak & Dagger Studios, LLC. Music by Ben Gibbs. The sound editor is Michael Ashley Finn. Web design and cloakanddaggerstudios.com by Rustix Interactive. Promotional consideration by your local Chris.
Free stickers.
Yes, please take a robot sticker.
Thank you guys so much for coming. We really appreciate it.
The little robot up close for inspiration. Take a robot sticker. Study them.
For a good time call.
Yeah, that's right.
Now we're recording, so, you know, of course, that's what we got first thing.
This is for you.
Oh, shit.
All my digits.
Oh, man.
All the important deets.
This is TXX1138. THX1138.
You're sounding good, brother.
Okay.
You're coming through loud and clear, good buddy. All right. You know, if I look at you like I like you, this picks up perfectly.
Okay.
But if I lean over to say, that's a really good point, I get lost in the hooey. Did you set up your goofball mic?
That's yes, it's over there because the chairs are too tall. Yeah. If I stick it in front of everybody, then, you know, you can't see people.
If I had a nickel for every time you said something about sticking it in front of everybody.
Hello. No, that's Joseph. I'm the sweet one.
You are the nice one.
I was trying to map you guys to the Spice Girls, but not having a lot of luck. I just don't think I know you well enough yet.
I want to be Truculent Spice.
Okay.
Truculent Spice.
I think we make good.
Whereas I want to be Bombastic Spice.
I don't think we're actually in the Spice Girls. I think we would be in the Legion of Substitute Spice Girls. I think that would be us.
That would be us.
Yeah, that would definitely be us.
Would that make you the Sugar Boys?
The Sugar Boys, yes.
Dancing in the aisle.
If anyone would like some Gentleman Nerd stickers,
spiffy Captain America,
there are sticker heads up here.
Jacket, going la la la.
Please note the ones that have a black outline.
So how long is the naming contest open for?
A month.
A month?
Right before Halloween.
At the end of the October time is when we're going to tell everybody what the answer is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And if you win, oh my gosh, you will get a box of such goodies that you'll plots. You will plot.
I don't need the goodies, Aaron. Just give me Hiddle's phone number.
it'll be a mitzvah.
And since she's an author, plotting is good.
No, plots.
Oh, okay.
A reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that when you hit the table.
Yes, and I tend to do that, so I'm going to.
Sounds like the opening beats to Slow Ride from Foghat, and nobody needs that.
We will.
Every time I see Aaron start to hit the table, there's going to be that slow motion.
No! Just catch his hand every time he makes for it. All right. I think we have enough shawarma. Let's.
Shawarma.
Stop this.